if I am pushing out a 10-foot baby out of my vagina that comes out walking and slamming dunks, then I deserve a f***ing break, okay, man?
Coming up on the Summer House After Show.
That's me breathing. It's okay.
These breakdowns have started happening since I was 13 years old.
Did something happen when you were 13?
She's crying. Well, I think you should talk to her.
That's silly. That's dumb.
Oof, I'm gonna get burned for that one.
She did not give a about this girl crying.
Walk away, Danielle.
Yeah, I will.
Nothing I had to say mattered.
Danielle has zero respect for Amanda, and I've noticed that over multiple years.
The little guy's hot as hell.
But I'm also laying that groundwork, too.
I do think she does some self-sabotaging.
I'm not doing the wedding, but I'll tell you, if I were, I don't know that I'd do it.
This wasn't the first time my parents had expressed concerns.
The Summer House After Show starts right now.
Whilst voicing concerns about the future of Carl's career, you tell Carl that you want to be a stay-at-home mom.
If I am the one who's carrying the child for 9 months, and I'm the one managing everything, I'm the one doing this and that and this and that, I need
you get a job!
I don't know where I'm going to be, like, if we have kids and I'm going to want to stay at home.
Well, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, I need to know that, like, I have a partner that's also doing anything to bring in any type of money, because for me, I need that security. I'm trying everything humanly possible to light a f***ing fire for this man. And when I couldn't do anything else, I was like, what if I want to be a stay-at-home mom?
Yeah.
I deserve an opportunity to take a f***ing break.
I mean, the Lindsay Hubbard that I knew the first time I met her was this independent, fierce, hustler, PR savant. A lot of our relationship when we got together was defined on we're both 50-50. It's this beautiful partnership because she works, I work. We both bring our money together and we created this kind of beautiful partnership. And I don't think I realized until that moment that I was engaged to someone that...
Oh, by the way, you need to be the sole provider.
And I'm not saying that that I don't love that. Trust me, I grew up in a family. My mom worked, my dad worked. My grandparents both worked at times. I'm totally okay and understanding. If you want to work, that's amazing. But clearly we were not on the same page. And to hear her basically say that she wants to just stay at home and kind of be a mom influencer was the first time I had heard that.
All of a sudden, he's like, whoa, what?
She wants to be a stay-at-home mom.
So in that moment was the first time she basically said flat out, I want to be a stay-at-home mom?
Essentially, yeah.
And most men would be like, I'm gonna figure this out because I want a family, and if you have to go through ripping your f***ing asshole and vagina open to get our child out of you, then, and keep it alive, because that's the first year of parenthood is keeping the kid alive. And if I'm the one responsible for everything, then yeah, you better f***ing work. Do something. Help me out.
Finances were definitely a big part of, I think, our just not seeing eye to eye. Luckily, because of my sobriety, I've saved a lot of money in the last few years, and I'm in a lot much healthier place financially. I have no debt. So her financial framing of me and not having stability or not thinking about the future for us is just feels very, very strange.
I just want a priority for you is making money for our future family.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say I want marriage and family. It's another thing to understand that you need money for that, especially in New York City. In New York City, you need to, at minimum, make
a million.
A million a person.
Preschool cost $60,000.
Okay, so then there's the thought of we have a very expensive wedding. We have
a very expensive apartment.
And also, if I am pushing out a 10-foot baby out of my vagina that comes out walking and slamming dunk, then I deserve a f***ing break, okay, man? This is gonna be a 10-foot baby. I'm 5'8", he's 6'5". I'm gonna have to talk to Wes about vaginal tears.
There's 4 grades. 1 through 4. I was a 3.
Wes was a 3. This thing is gonna be a 12 coming out of me.
And I also reflect on Lindsay's past relationships with others and their jobs. I've spoken to Everett a lot since this whole thing went down, and very similar themes and commonalities in the job stuff and career and money. And I've gathered that also from some of her other exes. So I don't know if this is necessarily a Carl thing, or I think it's a Lindsay thing.
I am the most independent, like, I don't think I'm even capable of not working. Like, I don't have it in, I'm a busybody, and I'm a tornado.
She'll do laundry for fun. That's not normal.
Well, because I travel a lot. But I want the option to be a stay-at-home mom. Sorry, I am very passionate about this subject.
Carl, you and your parents talk at the Jersey Shore.
Yes, it's a tough conversation. Yes, I was shocked, and it was a lot to take in at the Jersey Shore, because going into that, I didn't think that conversation was gonna happen like that. I thought they'd be like, how's planning, how's wedding, you guys are okay? I didn't expect that at all.
I'm not doing the wedding, but I'll tell you, if I were, I don't know that I'd do it.
I break down that day a lot. I mean, I've often thought, why did I even call my mom that afternoon after Cowfish? When I was frustrated with Lindsay, you know, if I didn't call her, you know, maybe something would have happened differently. But ultimately, I am so glad that I have a loving mother and a loving stepfather who, no matter what, want the best for me and the best for Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I'm actually hopeful that some of that side will show when my parents are talking to me about Lindsay. I'm not giving up. I love Lindsay. And I know you guys love Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they do love her and they do care about her and they wanted the best for us. But when you have two parents who've been through a lot of shit, my mom's been divorced and remarried, Lou has also been divorced and remarried, that their opinion matters. And it comes from a place of love and care.
And you can only imagine, like, look, I know Carl's mom, I know Lou. You can only imagine how hard it was for them to be so honest in that moment, because it's probably the most brutal feedback that they've ever probably had to give you.
100%.
The relationship you have, you're fearful and it's not working the way you want it to work. Getting married isn't gonna solve that.
After that conversation in the Jersey Shore, I mean, Lou came upstairs. We didn't like talk for an hour. Like after everybody left, the cameras left, I was at a point where I'm like, I cannot believe like my parents are this concerned. I understand why they are, but holy shit, like now I gotta figure out how to talk to Lindsay about this, but I don't know how to talk to her about it. Because honestly, this wasn't the first time my parents had expressed concerns. You know, they had been privy to other situations prior to the summer starting, very similar scenario. And again, Lou has married couples for 30 years in a church. He was an ordained minister. He gives sermons. He went to Harvard and studied, but like he knows this world, and he spends a lot of time working with couples in premarital counseling, preparing them for a lifetime of marriage. And when someone like that who cares about me but also has that perspective is expressing concern, you know, I have to take that seriously. And honestly, I talked to him the other day. And you know what's funny? I mean, I thought he'd be really worried about putting that out there, and he's like, no, I spoke my truth. And I respect him for that. And I'm grateful that I have family that wants the best for me and wanted the best for her. And I really believe this till I die. We were going to be much happier in different directions. And my parents are a big part of making sure we thought through seriously what we were doing. Like, is this really right? Are we really ready for this? We weren't.
Carl, Lou asks if you feel supported by Lindsay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question.
Now, Lindsay was sober for a while, right?
I think about 6 months.
Wow. You must have felt really supported.
I felt incredibly supported.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not trying to tell or dictate how to live her life.
But isn't it
hard to be around?
When it affects you.
Yeah, on one hand, Lindsay absolutely has been supportive, you know? I'm not gonna say that she hasn't. It's hard to be in a relationship with someone like myself who has some of these challenges, and I understand that, and I've been so appreciative of her even trying to understand more and learn. However, I think if you're gonna spend the rest of your life with someone who has, and it very clearly stated that he never is going to drink again and cannot, that you would wanna understand that more and really try to wrap your arms around that in a positive way. oddly enough, she was asked by Andy Cohen on the reunion last year. Or actually, Andy said directly to her face, you can play the tape back.
Al-Anon is your friend.
And her response was...
Yeah, I have like an Excel document that a girlfriend sent to me of like different Zoom meetings.
That's the first time I heard her talk about it. And that's the last time I heard her talk about it. So, yes, she was supportive to an extent. But I think if you're planning on spending the rest of your life in a committed relationship and building a strong foundation, there needs to be more understanding of those nuances. And I don't believe we got to that point. Saying you support me and actually supporting me are two different things.
I didn't like promise to be sober for the rest of my life. Like all I promised was getting, like helping him get to his 1 year milestone. And then I went extra. Great, I felt good, I looked good, I, you know, all the things, my boyfriend was happy. I never committed to a lifetime of sobriety. When he proposed, I was drinking. So, okay, so then you are accepting that I drink and you don't. Like that's, you proposing to me during a time when I am drinking means that you're accepting that for the rest of your life and like, forever. And now all of a sudden, like I'm getting judged all the time.
It was conditional, right? Whether or not he was okay with you drinking or not. And so when you were happy, when you were like free loving, like whatever, non-emotional, fine.
But Gabby, it goes back. I'm not allowed to have emotions other than happy.
If I have one sip of alcohol and I have an emotion other than happy, it's a problem. If I'm happy, he's totally fine. If I'm fine, he's totally fine.
He was picking and choosing. He was cherry picking and choosing
what when it worked and when it didn't.
When
and
it was like
that's, and I'm not a
and
mind
it had
reader.
No had no bearing on like your alcohol intake whatsoever. It just had a bearing on your emotional state.
Right. I mean, a lot of like lessons were learned in that. Like, I will not be with somebody who tries to change me now.
No.
I will not be with somebody who cannot handle like an emotion other than happy. Like sometimes I cry, sometimes I'm stressed out,
sometimes
I'm anxious about something. Sometimes I'm on edge about something. Like that we are human. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know where this conversation
is
going.
Yeah, I don't know. What was the question?
Gabby and I like typically wind up just like
this
going.
This is literally
we debate.
What,
we like.
This is what post breakup was. We were like, we need to figure this out. Like, why did he?
Gabby
do this?
Came over. Oh, I'm gonna cry. Gabby came over every single day for 2 weeks and like just sat with me and you were such a blessing.
Stop crying.
I can't. No. Like it just makes me emotional. Like you were just incredible and amazing, and you came over every single day, and we put everything on the table, and we like got our monocles out and our, you know, Carmen Sandiego.
Carmen Sandiego, Inspector Gadget.
And we were like, okay, what happened here? And then when we like popped back up, we were like,
it all makes sense.
This was the best decision that could have happened for
me. To be honest, like that, I think is the crux of the whole thing is that. These were two people that should have never been together.
Gabby, at the alien party, Danielle sits you down to give you a pep talk.
I don't know if it was like a motivational talk gone wrong, because I don't know how in her mind she thought this was gonna go well.
How are you doing? How's the mojo?
Mojo's great.
Yeah? Are you flirting?
I don't know why everyone thinks I'm incapable of this.
You are, actually, because you're so closed off to the opportunity or like the
to someone.
This is like your miracle speech. You failed.
I do think she does some self-sabotaging. Like opportunities at the club, she doesn't like walk around.
I think she has a standard and she's okay with really waiting it out. She's not interested in like searching the crowd for it.
She made me feel like I couldn't find a guy. And right. I was like, you know damn well that's not an issue for me.
It's confusing because I have seen her pursued and hooked up
succeeded.
With
people.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I thought that I understood what she's looking for. Okay, is it a symmetrical face? Is it a height thing? Is it a person? Is it what he does for a
it's
living?
Also zodiac signs.
A zodiac. Yeah, there are a lot of layered components here, and I'm trying to figure it out so I can be the best wing woman I can be. You know, I take that very seriously.
Just qualifications.
It's confusing because I'm just like, whoa, okay, all right, still, nope, don't got it. So I'm like, do you know what you're looking for? Because I don't get it. And I'm pretty, like, good at understanding things.
Yeah. She's very selective with her fashion. She's very selective with her men.
It's just, like, I have specific way of, like, how I like to do things and specific people I like to go for. Just because they have not entered the orbit of Summer House doesn't mean that they don't exist. I also found it weird that, like, she thought that that was the right approach to, like, kind of, like, nurture this kind of competition between us. The little guy's hot as hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm also laying that groundwork too.
He had already unwittingly participated in a competition of a man who is my boyfriend.
He actively cheated on me with you.
Oh my God! Like, I was already a sister wife or a sister girlfriend. And I didn't know about it. So I'm like, why are we trying to go for the same man again?
I mean, listen, I get it. Like, Danielle gets competitive. I mean, there was literally season 4 when I was dating or trying to date Carl and we were trying to figure that out and then we broke up and then the next weekend I was out of town. She like gave him a job of some sort.
Making out the whole cab ride, and she apparently might have given him a hand job.
No, a man job.
She worked.
Well, because he doesn't, so someone's got to. My point is like, she likes competition.
She's peeing all over that territory.
Correct.
And the stench of her pee is pungent.
Can I tell you what upset her too, I think, is that you guys are like kind of both talking to him, and then you said something like, I'll back off if you're into him. And she felt like she was getting like your sloppy seconds. Like you were doing her a favor by backing off and like allowing her to talk to him. That's how she interpreted it. I'm not saying you're right or wrong.
Jeez, yeah.
But I think that's how it was interpreted.
But listen to me.
You're listening.
Listen to me here. I tried to help her out and then she was just taking too long. So people I decided I wanted to do it.
I think if you said that to me, I'd be like embarrassed.
Really? Like, it could have gone any way. Like, I really wasn't, like, you know, my heart was in the right place.
I know it was.
And then, you know, other things sort of take over.
You also did make that comment in the beginning of the summer when she burped about, like, that's why she doesn't, she, like, she's.
That was a joke. A lighthearted one. That was a joke.
Stack it on top.
Oh, yeah, maybe I.
At the alien party, Gabby has a moment.
Here, let me just say this first.
Because you know where I was?
Sierra was somewhere on a table dancing, so she doesn't even know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gabby was really getting in her head,
mm-hmm.
and then was looking for Carl and Lindsay, but then stumbled upon me and Amanda.
What do you need?
Someone to talk to.
And I guess we were
the
a
last
good
choice.
Second choice. No, literally the last,
the last choice.
Choice.
The last choice
to cry to. And so she's crying.
I don't want to cry, to leave me, it looks so
good. No, it's so good. We're trying to console her, and then Danielle comes in and calls her stupid.
She's crying. Well, I think you should talk to her.
That's silly. That's dumb.
And I don't know how we got there.
I think that either it's like I'm too direct, or I could be harsh.
You're passionate.
Are you flirting?
I don't know why everyone thinks I'm incapable of this.
You are, actually, because you're so closed off to the opportunity or, like, the
someone?
I was shocked because, like, I truly didn't think that it ended that poorly or that, like, my delivery was that bad. But, I mean, I'll just watch it back.
I truly don't remember what actually happened.
That night.
Because it's, like, a complete disassociation. So these, I call them, like, my breakdowns.
Yeah.
And they happen annually, biannually, it depends on like how many emotions I'm like pushing down. And so I hadn't had one since 2021 at this point.
Okay.
So there's it's like 2 years of like
pushing down
shit. And I don't really know how else to be other than, like,
yeah.
If there's an unpleasant emotion, I don't deal with it in the present.
And when you get a ton of unpleasant emotions on top of each other, it will like bottle up and then explode. So like these breakdowns have started happening since I was 13 years old.
Did something happen when you were 13?
Well, my grandmother died. And I saw everyone else in my life like kind of breaking down. And for some reason I was like, okay, like I have it together.
Like I have to be the strong one.
I was like, they don't have to worry about me. But like I was just pushing everything down. And then like, unfortunately, like the most inopportune time, I exploded. It was like at her wake. And like, it's not to minimize the fact that like, yeah, like I was f-ing pissed that Danielle put me in that situation and she said that to me.
You didn't even flirt. Like with Joe, it was not giving flirtation.
I was giving closed off when I just met this guy?
Yeah, you were, sure.
I don't think that's fair. That's like not to minimize it, but it didn't warrant that full emotional reaction.
Right.
That was a lot of other stuff that was coming out simultaneously.
Right.
So for me, I also just felt, I felt really ganged up on. Everyone's looking at me like I'm the f***ing issue.
No.
Literally, yes. And like most of it comes from feeling also really misunderstood.
Right.
Because I don't think that everyone in the house understands what my approach is to dating.
Damn it, Dobby. Get up and swoop it. Let's go.
All right. You're gonna do great.
I'm not nervous about it. And like the scars that I have, and I still carry to this day, even though I actively try to shed them. But there's like a lot of it that I'm just like, I'm waiting. And I will not compromise just to like hook up with someone. But it did feel like everyone was like coming at me being like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah.
And I just was like, I have lost it.
Like, stop
Don't talk
asking
to me.
Like, why I'm not hooking up with Balloon Guy Joe.
Balloon Guy, the guy who blows up balloons.
Paige, you encouraged Danielle to apologize to Gabby.
She said something that hurt someone's feelings.
Were you flirting?
I don't know why everyone thinks I'm incapable of this.
You are, actually.
Even if you deem it not mean or wrong, you still made that person upset, and you should apologize for making that person upset. I say a lot of snarky things that I don't mean to sound mean, but if it hurts someone's feeling, I'll be the first person to say, sorry, I meant it as a joke. Like, I didn't mean it the way you took it, but she couldn't even humble herself enough to do that.
She's crying. Well, I think you should talk to her.
That's silly. That's dumb.
And so it was very, like, off-putting how much she did not give a shit about this girl crying. And that felt icky to me.
It was like, you're not even gonna console her?
I just said to you, you made your friend cry. You said, that's stupid. She shouldn't be crying about it. That's you thinking your opinion is more important than hers or her feelings.
I just don't think that I did that. Oof, I'm gonna get burned for that one. But I just didn't want to deal with it in that moment because I was having such a good time at the party and I wanted to get back to that. That was selfish of me and rude.
Talk about no empathy. I mean, Danielle wants to say that I don't give anything to Craig.
I think you're giving him nothing.
Your friend is hysterically crying and you said, that's stupid, she's stupid, and her emotions are stupid. So like right in that moment, it was very full circle for me and I was like, oh, you only care about what you're doing.
Like the words I use are a little bit more harsh.
You're passionate and you can be very honest.
Yeah.
And sometimes in the wrong mindset.
My personality type is just a little bit more like in your face. And this is why as a founder, CEO, I always try to like understand people's personalities.
You can say shit because you're a CEO.
Yeah, but also it's not really relative to the conversation.
At all. The CEO of what, first of all? And second of all, so if you have a job title, you can come in on the weekends and be mean to your friends. I don't walk around saying I'm the CEO of Giggly Squad. Like, come on. Never seen what company she's the CEO of. So I can't wait.
You didn't want to have the vibe killed and you were just like, I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's just
shut
like,
up, we're Amanda and Paige.
Just gonna table this one and
I know,
I'm gonna
you
go.
You straight up just walked away from me in the middle of talking.
Sometimes you just need to come, okay, walk away, Danielle.
Yeah, I will.
This conversation with Paige, but not me.
So I know you were done.
Yeah, and honestly, it was like, if it's between Gabby and I, then let it be between
Gabby and I. Anything that I would have said either would have been misconstrued or like it wouldn't have been good enough in that scenario at all. And so I was like, I know Gabby, you know, she's my friend and I will address this tomorrow with her when we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I feel like our conversation was just like, it went left in a way that I felt very like judged.
And I never want you to feel that I'm judging you. I love her and I don't ever want to be at odds like with her. So to me, it was just very easy to be like, okay, what was that? And like, how do we move forward from that? Because I love you. So yeah.
I think that was truly a great example of like poor delivery or like saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, I feel like that's the story of my time on Summer House. And I still want to help her find a man, so.
During the conflict with Gabby, the two of you have a bit of an issue as well.
It felt like you were just like, I don't really care what you have to say. And once Paige left, like you left too. And like nothing I had to say mattered.
It's okay.
Blow it up bigger than it ever has to be because that's what we do here.
No, but I'm saying sometimes you just need to come. Okay, walk away, Danielle.
Yeah, I will.
Just conversation with Paige, but not me. Sick. I'm like, does she ever care what I think? Like, does she take me seriously? Does she want to hear like my opinion or does she like not care?
Yeah, you also said that I don't take you seriously.
Yeah.
You don't think Danielle takes you seriously?
No, I definitely think that she thinks I'm stupid.
I feel like that like was so eye-opening for me because it was quite the opposite feeling that I have for you. And like, how did I screw up so bad that that's the message that I was sending?
Danielle has zero respect for Amanda. And I've noticed that over multiple years. I think she considers Amanda to be stupid and she's just Kyle's wife and she really doesn't have anything to add to the conversation. So anytime Amanda has an opinion, Danielle doesn't listen and writes it right off. And to walk out while someone's mid-sentence is so disrespectful and so rude, especially someone who preaches girl power and feminist and supporting each other. You look at her like she's nothing because she's a wife. I didn't like any of that.
My second summer in the house, or it was my technically first summer, whatever, I would deal a lot with people talking over me and not listening to me and not being able to get a word in.
Here they go again. Like, it was embarrassing.
But we're not judging you,
no,
Amanda.
No, I know. It's
we're supporting you. We don't want you to fight, but we're not
it's
even calling you out for fighting.
No one called you out. No one said a word. Clearly
can Amanda speak, please?
It was so frustrating because literally no one cared what I had to say. Mm. Like, the reunion, Lauren was like, speak up, Amanda, and then like talked over me when I was trying to speak up.
Now, have you said, Amanda, have you ever called and said anything?
For one
speak up, Amanda, you don't speak up.
I was like, this is a lose-lose situation. So sometimes when that happens, like that's kind of where I go. Like you're not listening to me and you're talking over me. You don't respect me enough to hear me out. That's just how I felt.
No, I... But
and
like,
we've come so far since then.
Yes, but there was also times at Winter House where you play devil's advocate so much.
I know.
So I think like maybe like coming off of Winter House where there was so much going on that I wish you had more of my back just to like fend some other stuff off.
Yeah.
Just in the moment.
Constantly puking and never around.
Very cool.
Oh, wow, right?
Nailed it.
So I missed a lot.
But like, so that took me back to that place where I was just like, you're doing it again. That's what I was thinking in that moment. Not ever having to do with the fact that I don't value you, respect you, or ever want to like hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
It's like, you're so brilliant. And like when I had the Dawn like design, like strategy, like the brand strategy built out, like you're the first person I want to talk to about it. And like the colors
know,
and stuff.
I love that.
I love hearing what you have to say. Most of the time you are correct.
Yeah. And sometimes you just don't want to hear it.
That's true.
High five. Can I reach you?
Obviously, I don't want to flash anyone.
You have a direct conversation with Amanda about her identity and career.
If your friends aren't honest, then they're not really your friends. And I feel like there is really no way to really beat around the bush with something like that.
Do you feel like you have an identity outside of Kyle and Loverboy? Because I don't.
Dang.
But that's not bad delivery?
It was a whole conversation that led up to it.
When I think of you,
I see you as like running like a company or like all these brands are like, we gotta get Amanda Petula on this.
Everything you do is so Kyle and like lover boy.
Okay.
If someone else in the house said that to Amanda, we would be the first ones to be like, F you. What you're talking about, how dare you say that to her. But we're it's different when it's the three of us.
If someone told me, do you have an identity out of X, Y, and Z, I'd be hurt.
I think they said like they don't feel that I do, and I think the reason I wasn't hurt is because I agree with it. Like, who am I outside of Kyle and Loverboy? So it was validating hearing them say it, because I was like, okay, like, this is like, the way I'm feeling is correct. Like, my whole identity has become him and what he does.
Yeah.
Like, even when I started the show, like, I did not want to be like front and center. So like I kind of like hid behind Kyle in his shadow.
I'm trying to get blonde for the summer, so don't get my hair.
Okay.
But like definitely get the deltoids. Yeah.
And because of that, I was sort of like treated that way. So I kind of like became, you know, one part of Kyle. I mean, if this was a couple years ago, I'd be doing this right now with Kyle. Let's be honest. Like always paired with him for press.
Yeah.
Like, do everything
That's
with
true.
Him.
That's true.
And then when I quit my job and was working for Loverboy, you know, I'm working for him. Like, everything was surrounding him. So I questioned it too.
And Amanda has such a good personality, and she's so cool and she's so creative that sometimes when I see like her personality like dimming or her like being quiet, I get sad for her because I know Kyle is a big personality and it's very easy for her to like take a back seat and like while he's like being the himself, center of attention. Yeah. So I get nervous that sometimes she's taking a back seat too many times in a row. Like she had enough self-esteem that like she could also
right, because she's
do
funny.
She wants.
Are you serious right now?
Wow.
You gotta ask me out at least one more time if I'm gonna let you stick it in this too far.
She's funny. She's creative.
Yeah.
She's so
she's
cool. She's easily the coolest girl
I
know.
She's the coolest girl in the house, and she is inherently has this great style and this great sense of design and everything, where I think she could channel that into like her own brand or whatever she wants to do with it. And I think she'd be so successful at it.
I've always thought about like doing my own thing in some capacity, you know?
Yeah, I think you're super talented and you should do that.
Yeah,